So the name of this message today is, this morning's message is, Sing to the Lord. It has an actual title. And I appreciate a few weeks ago Micah's message, Clarity. It made me think about how easy it is to slowly change our habits. I don't know if you remember that or not, but Micah did a nice job in reminding us that we have some habits that we need to keep. One of those is reading our word. Our minds are so fickle, we can see that all the way back to Eve, if that rings a bell. So we need to pause long enough to consider our own habits. Reading the Bible is one of them, like actually reading the Bible, like Micah pointed out. I think that it can be made, or I think that the same kind of check can be made for our praise and worship. A check, a stop. Am I actually doing what I should be doing, reading my Bible frequently, staying in God's word? A stop or a check. Am I giving God the honor and praise or worship that he needs or that he deserves? Are we praising God? Do we set time away for that or set time aside for that? I was taught that praise and worship are different. And you might find that kind of odd, but I was taught that praise is using words like speaking or singing, while worship is more like our actions, the things we do, and being obedient to the word. ERV, which is easy read version, I have some quotes out of ERV today, some out of other translations, but I'll tell you when it's ERV. ERV translates Psalm 145, verse 3 like this. The Lord is great and deserves all our praise. No one can fully understand his greatness. So God definitely deserves honor and praise. And that was taken from a part of a song that David had written. The Revelator wrote in ERV, Revelation 5:11 and 12. Then I looked, and I heard the voices of many angels. The angels were all around the throne, the four living beings and the elders. There were thousands and thousands of angels, 10,000 times 10,000. Maybe that was put in there just for an equation for Malachi to figure out. He's always got these ginormous math equations that he wants us to figure out. So maybe that's why it's in there. But verse 12 says, the angel said in a loud voice, all power, wealth, wisdom, and strength belong to the Lamb who was killed. He is worthy to receive our honor, glory, and praise. So Jesus Christ is the Lamb that was slain in that picture in Revelation, and he too deserves praise and honor. So both God and Jesus deserve to be praised and honored. This next little verse I'm going to use is part of a song that David wrote when Saul sent people to watch his house to try to kill him. Remember, David was running from Saul for a while. Saul was chasing him. He was trying to get away all the time. Psalm 59:16, it says, but I will sing about your strength. This is David's writing. I will sing about your strength. I will rejoice in your love every morning. You have been my place of safety, the place where I can go when trouble comes. Talking about God. That's a pretty positive outlook and a pretty positive lyric for someone who is knowing that at every moment his life is in danger. So it's good to be positive. So today, let's listen to the words and sing and praise God. So I have a verse, Revelation 4:11, before we do our first song. And it might be the blurb at the song, it might not be, but it probably is. Revelation 4:11 says, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and because your will, they existed and were created. So it's telling us about the creation. So our first song is in the book number 27, Holy, Holy, Holy. The next verse I have is out of Job, which is right before Psalms if you have a paper Bible. I don't know if anybody has these anymore, paper Bibles. Job 38, 4 through 7, it says, Job 38, 4. Where were you when I laid the foundation? This is God speaking to Job. You know, Job is made up of conversations between people and God to Job and Job to God and God to Job and different people. But this is God speaking to Job. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me you have understanding. Who set its measurements, since you know? Or who stretched the line on it? I'm thinking it would be referring to like a straight line. Or what were its bases sunk? Or in what are its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, all the sons of God shouted for joy. And it's the basis for our next song, This Is My Father's World, number 69. I was looking at the stars last week. Actually, I was looking at the stars last week. But I had to get Micah and Malachi to help me find out the different constellations because it was a very clear night. And I could recognize pieces of what I thought were constellations, but I'm not that familiar with them. And so they helped me out to show me where some of them were that they knew of and stuff like that. It was kind of cool, and it was a very clear night. Did you know that Job 38 mentions three constellations? Does anybody know which ones? No. Well, it's Pleiades, Orion, and the Bear. They're in Job 38, 31 through 33. If you're interested in knowing about that, did you even know that the constellations were part of the actual design creation? That's kind of an odd thing. And then I got thinking about that, and this was God describing in Job 38, God is describing to Job the creation. In a condescending way. But I got thinking about that in the Big Bang Theory, and I was thinking, okay, these constellations are pretty far away, so then our perspective would, a little bit of change would change our perspective, and they wouldn't look right anymore. But all through the years, these constellations have been constant. Constellations. I've made a little thing there. So I just thought that was something to think about, that they're not changing. They're staying the same, and they're so far away. If everything is moving away, why are they still there? Why isn't it a different configuration by now? But it isn't. So anyway, Isaiah 44, 24. Is my next verse. And it says, thus says the Lord your Redeemer and the one who formed you from the womb, I am the Lord, the maker of all things, stretching out the heavens by myself and spreading out the earth all alone. So who is there? He says, by myself and all alone. Only God was there. Song number 66 in the book, It Took a Miracle. So our songs and hymns are stories or teachings put to music. In real studies, it shows, these are as real as the internet, in real studies, it shows that music can decrease depression, manage pain, improve your sleep, and help you eat less, so it can assist you in weight management. That last one could be true, the weight management one, because look at Jeremiah. I don't even know where he is. He's somewhere. He's right there. Look at Jeremiah. His parents say, you don't have to come up, you can stay there. His parents say that he sings all the time. And look how skinny he is. So, and he is a little skinny kid. At its core, let the lower lights be burning, or it used to be known as Brightly Beams Our Father's Mercy. That's the same song. It used to have a different name. Is a call to keep our guiding lights shining in the midst of darkness, metaphorically representing hope and compassion. The lower lights referred to in this song are beacons positioned closer to the shore, guiding ships safely into the harbor. In life, those lower lights symbolize the individuals who offer guidance and support and encouragement to those who may be struggling in their lives and trying to find their way back home. These lyrics remind us that the importance of a nurturing light, or in the importance of nurturing the light within ourselves, while it also extends to others, if we do that, we can help lead people to safety and redemption and introducing Christ. In maritime terms, that would be about boats and stuff, in case you don't know. The lower lights are beacons or lighthouses closer to the shore to help guide ships safely into the harbor, illuminating their way through treacherous waters. The line in this song, "Trim your feeble lamp, my brother," it's in the song, you'll hear it when we sing it. This line suggests that it's the responsibility of each individual to keep their own light shining brightly, or to shining bright. Despite our own personal difficulties and weaknesses, we still need to shine, even though we have our troubles ourselves. By trimming the feeble lamp, they're urged to strengthen their inner resolve and be a source of guidance and support for others. And an untrimmed lamp burns dimmer and soots up the glass in the lamp, you know, the old-fashioned lamp with the knob and the wick that goes up and down. You probably have never seen a real one. But, so we need to trim from our lives whatever darkens our light. That's the implied in that story. So we have a few songs around the water. The first one is number 111, The Stranger by the Sea. Okay, for the next one, you'll need your book, and it is 359. That's the one that she had queued up there. Let the lower lights be burning, and that's what a lot of the reading was about, was this song. When Jennifer and I went to a Door County Lighthouse tour a few years ago, we learned about the lower lights then, and the particular harbor that we were at had a little short lighthouse like that big right next to the great big one, and that's what it was. It was the lower light. So the navigator that was approaching the harbor had to vertically line up the two lights. If they didn't, they would crash in the rocks under the water. So if they saw that the lights weren't lined up vertically, they knew that they were on the wrong course. So that's how they knew. So it kind of shows, you know, in a metaphorically about this kind of subject, that the truth is important. They're important, that you need to be lined up right. You can't be skewed, because if you are, you're going to hit something else. So, a little lesson in the songs. Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourselves to prayer and keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Horatio Spafford was a successful attorney and real estate investor who lost a fortune in the Great Chicago Fire of 1871. I didn't know if anybody knew that, what year it was. Around the same time, his four-year-old son died of scarlet fever. Thinking a vacation would do his family some good, he sent his wife and four daughters on a ship to England, planning to join them after he finished some pressing business at home. However, while crossing the Atlantic Ocean, the ship was involved in a terrible collision and sunk. More than 200 people died, or 200 people died in that tragedy, including all four of Horatio's daughters. His wife Anna survived the tragedy. Horatio immediately set sail for England, and at one point during his voyage, the captain of the ship, aware of the tragedy that had struck their family, summoned Horatio to tell him that they were passing over the spot where the shipwreck had occurred. And on that trip to England, Horatio penned the words to this song, "It Is Well With My Soul." So 460 is the song, but I think we have it on the wall. 460, "It Is Well With My Soul." God's Spirit winds its way through the Bible almost unnoticeably. In 2 Timothy 3:16, King James says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness." The word inspiration is number 2315 in the Strong's Greek Dictionary, which the Wednesday night kids are a little bit familiar with. We have a stack of them back there. There's a Greek dictionary in the back of that concordance. But word number 2315 is theopneustos, but it's spelled T-H-E-O-P-N-E-U, so the P is silent. So if you recognize the base words, the P-N-E-U is air, right? Or wind or something like that, and theo would be God. That's the word used for inspiration in that verse, 2 Timothy 2, 3:16. And it literally means God breathed. So all scripture is God breathed. God breathed out and caused the people to do whatever. It was a force that God caused for these things to happen. And I'm looking for the difference of this inspiration or God breathed and the Spirit of God. I'm not finding much difference when I'm looking for the difference between those two, God breathed and the Spirit of God. Here are a few examples. Genesis 1:2, it talks about and the Spirit moved across the face of the waters in the creation. You remember that in the verse? The Spirit moved across the waters. I'm thinking that I can put God breathed in that situation. In Judges 14, which we hear that God's Spirit was already with Samson when he was a young boy and a man. So God's Spirit was already there. But he's walking along down the path one day and a lion comes out to attack him. And then it says in the verse, it says, God's Spirit came upon him mightily. And he tore the lion with nothing in his hands. He killed the lion with nothing in his hands. He tore it apart. God breathed. I kind of think so. In Acts 5, it's talking about Ananias and Sapphira. And you know what happened in the story, maybe. If you don't, they sold some land. They said they were going to give it all to the church. They gave part of it to the church and said they gave it all to the church. And the apostles caught them and said, "Oh, wait a minute, you said that you gave us all the money, but you didn't. You didn't have to tell us that you gave it all." And what it caused was the Spirit of God caused Ananias to drop dead. And the apostles said, "You lied against the Spirit, but really you lied against God." So the God breathed and the Spirit to me are joined. They're really the same thing. And I had the song to follow that reading was going to be "With Thy Spirit Fill Me," but we're going to go to our closing song, number 81, "Breathe On Me, Breath of God." And that one will be on the wall. It is in the book on page 81. I don't know if you know the song or not, but I really like this song. But "With Thy Spirit Fill Me," these are songs that are talking about us seeking God's Spirit in our lives. So it's something we need to seek to be able to get.